Hi, folks. Welcome to the next edition of Serverless Crack with myself, Dave Anderson. I'm architect, a GP, and author and contributor at the Serverless Edge.
Everyone, Mark McCann, architect at Globalization Partners and also contributor at the Serverless Edge.
Michael Riley, same as the other guys. There we
There you go.
go.
So we were doing a wee series about kind of worldly mapping and maybe some kind of practical things. It's something that we've been using for quite some time. The last two episodes were, I think, worldly mapping 101, and then I kind of can worldly maps predict the future. So I thought it might be nice to do sort of a. I know a lot of people would say, well, that's a kind of cool technique, but how would I do that in my work? You know what I mean? So there's probably a question that I think we should tackle. You know, if you've been like following Simon on Twitter and you're starting to play around with worldly mapping, and you think it's kind of cool. How would you make that a thing in your work? It's nice doing it at home when you're maybe playing around, but how would you bring that into your place of work? I think we probably have a lot of experience doing that over the last 10 years. And probably the first thing I'd say, just to kind of give a bit of advice, don't rock in on Monday morning and say, right, everyone, I just read a book at the weekend. Where do you see this? And start firing up a canvas.
That
It
always
might work.
works. Yeah.
Might work, but you might get thrown out. I mean, it's the same that kind of new thing. Sometimes, if you have this moment of discovery and you find this fantastic new thing, if you just rock in and say, "Look, everyone, this is brilliant," it might work. But that's, I would say, that's a challenging route.
Yeah, I think if you especially if you expose them to the wealth of material that's out there on mapping, it can overwhelm people. You could be all excited about this, and then you're just, they'll disengage, they'll turn off, they'll think you're a little bit mad sometimes. And I think we've lived this experience. We're like, this is awesome, let's do this everywhere, and then we'll have to back off and take a more tactical or more strategic approach to introducing mapping into the org. And I think like a lot of these things and a lot of stuff we talk about a lot, it's bringing people on that journey. It's doing it in a collaborative, facilitated way is the way to go, not just rocking in and doing it, not imposing it
Completely.
on people.
I could just say here's a 400-page book that Simon wrote. Read it quick, and then it'll be brilliant. That doesn't work. Just a couple of things. I mean, one thing that you've done really well, Mark, is that the North Star technique, and almost like as a sort of a secret way of mapping. I think that's worked really well.
Yeah, something we've done a lot of is, and you can use any sort of collaborative tools. You can use a whiteboard, but teasing out some of the sort of precursor sort of activities around what is your purpose? Like, literally, just have a number of stickies here. Right? What's your purpose? What are you trying to achieve? And have a think about that, and then what's your scope? What's in and out of scope? And then critically, who are your users, and what are their needs? And then something I've added in more recently and is what are some of the key metrics that you think are important that are rattling around your head or in your org or in your team? You want to be able to have some sort of quantifiable sort of goal that you're trying to get to. And it's amazing what insights you can gather just from that activity, right? And you can do it in 20 minutes, you can do it in an hour, you can get a few people together, and it's amazing that it's just demystifies it all. It's just very collaborative, very simple, allows people to contribute and challenge each other in a very sort of easy way without saying, "Hey, and we're going to go and create this mad map, and we're going to go do all these value chains and all these components." It really just nicely introduces them into thinking about these important aspects of their work and what they're doing in their team.
It's a very almost design-centric way. I mean, anytime if you've ever worked with designers, or even design thinking, but I would say just proper designers, they won't say, "Here's the process I'm going to bring you through." They'll ask you a question and they'll start a conversation, and they're taking you down a path, even like a they're going wide and then come back in again. They're taking you down a journey by asking leading questions. That's what they're actually doing. Like, but they don't lay the map out in front of you or lay the path out in front of you. So that's always quite. I think that's a good facilitation skill. Like I say, when you structure that almost like a worldly map and canvas, you're getting all the main building blocks that you could effectively create a map in your head after that, or map by
Yeah,
yourself.
and typically once you're beyond that stage, you can start to there's a Worley mapping canvas, there's you can fire in a mirror board or another collaboration tool, and then you can start to tease out what are the components of that value chain. And now you're into the, now you're into, okay, well, let's represent them on a map. And you know, so the next introduction discovers a lot of the things that are there that are in that landscape, and then you can start to map it out.
And another way I think that has probably worked for us that I've certainly done is I think once you start to talk about worldly mapping as a technique, and maybe you find, and certainly what we've done, you find kind of the second approach, find like-minded people in your organization. Maybe there's someone you might say, listen, have you heard about this? There's probably someone who goes, yeah, I've heard about that. That sounds cool. Maybe, you know, like architects are all mad. So it's like any crazy technique to draw boxes. We're like, we're all in. So there may be a few people who you may sit and map in twos or threes to kind of just start practicing as a small group. That's certainly when Mark, you and I did that right at the start. We'd be sitting trying to mix, draw maps and confuse ourselves and trying to figure out what's going on. That was definitely helpful. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. I mean, Ken's building on both those topics, you know, kind of using like kind of outside kind of workshops to kind of introduce mapping, things like North Star sessions and kind of working off maps and that, and working with like-minded people. I always find like it's a wee bit of combination of both, you know, like, so if you can find time, you know, so first things first, find a nice time, nice space. You know, and I, what I find is what I help is I would always send a pre-read material, you know, like, so there's a couple of sort of be 20 minute kind of bite-sized type items that you could, I think there's like a 20 minute video where Wardley kind of talks about why mapping, and it's like the crossing the river by feeling the stones. It was like, I think it was at an open source conference a few years back. Just kind of send that sort of, no, just to introduce it, watch this beforehand, we're going to get in, we're going to do this. And you get on a wall, you kind of, to your point, like, well, you know, we'll do basic kind of maps. But the big thing for me is always about capturing outcomes. You know what I mean? So like capture the map, you know, so then people can come back to it after the fact, you know, and then you can kind of, for me, then I can always revisit that subject matter and get right back up to speed reasonably quick. But you've got, you know, you've got a good, you know, you've prepped it, you kind of come in, you've done the session, you're, you know, you're engaging on it, but then you capture outcomes, you know, like what do we think, what are the key areas we want to talk about, you know, really get the, cut to the chase, and very very quickly you capture that those outcomes.
Yeah, I think it worked a lot more in physical buildings, but we would
remotely, it's difficult,
leave a lot of the maps on the board. Right, and then people would get interested. That's interesting.
Finding like-minded. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because right. I would always wander into the office or whatever, and used to, it'd be like stuck something on the wall, and be kind of going, right, what are these guys at? And you'd be looking at the map, and then before you know it, that's our, you know, conversation start, or you know, or you give a fresh perspective. Kind of, I don't agree with that. challenge the map. You know,
there's a nice principle there of create in the open.
Yeah.
When you do that, you just use like white walls or whiteboards and draw your thing up and just leave it there. You don't need to roll it off because it's a secret. Just leave it up there. That is harder when you're using online tools, but you can still share stuff, keep it, you know, like Slack channels.
I think for the curious, they can always find them. We try not to lock them down. They should be open for challenge, right? You want to make sure that they're discoverable for people.
Yeah, I start putting mine into the Confluence pages and, you know, the notes under it, and just put them out there, you know, you do get good feedback.
Yeah, and I think they also, you know, introducing it to an org. Sometimes if you're talking about some of the findings or some of the observations that you have, you can, you know, extract them and put them into like a PowerPoint slide or into a Confluence page, and people can see the outcomes of it, and then they're curious about, well, how did you discover that, or how did you come up with that observation, or and again, then you can introduce them to, oh, well, we did Worley mapping, right? So you can introduce that technique to them. That way they're seeing the benefits from the activity, but they didn't actually see the map. Now they're more likely to be engaged in, oh, that's an interesting technique. Can you take me through that? And then you're back to, you know, what's your scope? What's your purpose? Who are you? What are your needs? What's your value chain?
Yeah, I think that's really important. It's almost like a working backwards thing. Certainly found from experience, if you keep talking about mapping and say this is this magical technique, you start to put people off. and you show people maps and go, look at this is really important. But if you just say, I think we should do X, and say, well, why do you think that? You say, well, if Y happens, then we need to do X, and then, well, why do you think that? Well, if Z occurs, then Y happens, then we need to do X, and you're almost like backing into the map. And if they're really interested, say, well, here's the map, how you work this out. There's their observations, and here's the movement. So, but if people tunnel behind your sort of strategy, then you can say, well, the map is it's like the working out of a sum. Do you know what I mean? But it would always start with the answer. And then if you keep digging, you can say, well, here's the working out. But that's a nice way to talk about mapping, because I think if you have a suggestion that's kind of a bit off the wall, so how did you come to that? You can kind of explain it.
Yeah.
And that's a good way to sort of win people over without forcing them through a mapping session. Just kind of show them the prize at the end, and then if they're interested, they can back into it.
Yeah, and if you're working in a large kind of organization as well, I kind of feel like it's good to go back and be able to rehydrate, that information in your head as well. Like, so it just you can just get right back up to speed very, very quickly,
Yeah, that's a good
particularly in
one.
complex areas,
Yes. Yeah, that's a good one. If you maybe did a really complicated map and then you come back a year later and think, well, how did we come to that? And you look at the map and you're like, ah, that's right.
It is a shortcut to getting that situational awareness back again, right? And I think a lot of the maps we've done, you can, like you say, you can use them to quickly get into that context so that you're in a position to, make a decision or, challenge somebody or find out what the next best action is. So the maps are a really good way of shortcutting back to, oh, all right, I understand the context and I understand the landscape, I understand what the components are, and I can make a better informed decision, about what we're going to do next, right? So, yeah, they're definitely useful for that. And it's amazing when, if you like you're on a call, you're on a Zoom call or whatever, and you have the map open, you're very well informed for that conversation you're having. If you just glance at it for 5 minutes before that conversation, you're right up to speed again, which is a really good, really, the high value activity you can do before you go into any sort of important meeting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that element of sense making is really important, especially in a complicated, not a complicated organization, just even complicated stuff you're working on. I mean, I know, certainly think all of us use that a technique. We always say don't map by yourself, but I think sometimes if you just need to figure something out, you might just sit and start a map to give something some shape. So if there's a really complex subject or a complex problem, you might just start mapping it out. It's just to try and put some shape on it.
Yeah.
I know I've done that loads. And I was even talking to somebody just yesterday, and we were talking about something really complicated. He says, let's just map that out on Monday. We'll do that. I have no idea what'll happen, but we'll start mapping, and we'll make some sense out of something that none of us know the answer to.
Yeah, I know this week, Mike, you were creating some maps and you were like, here, what do you think of this? Right? It's you're open for challenge then, right? So I know you're right. Typically you don't want to map by yourself. But I think it's good to get that initial one to get some, just get your bearings early. And then you can start to open it up for challenge, open it up for what have I missed? What's wrong with this, right?
Yeah, I always find that it helps me think logically, and it helps me with priorities. Particularly when you're in complex, a complex subject matter area. When there's lots of kind of impacting factors, and it's just a nice way for you to look at that information and kind of just stare at that situation and decide, right, how do we want to tackle this? What's the next best thing for us to be trying to do? And again, it gets you into that wee kind of strategic mode of thought as well. And if you can get like an hour, and you're responsible for getting something going, or you're trying to work out what's the, how do I order this, or how do I get most value out of something? I always find it's a really powerful technique for that, and even how would I explain this to somebody? How do I approach this conversation? I kind of feel like it just the you think you said at the start there, sense making. So if you find yourself in a complex scenario with a complex subject matter, consider leveraging something like a map, because it has all this additional, we talk about like the additional meta, the meaning, position and move, they've all got meaning. So for it can certainly add a lot of value and bring a lot of clarity. Do that.
And also, I mean, I think it's also nice that I think the way we've started to write upper maps, we'll have the map, we'll have some climatic patterns, and then we'll have some observations that we annotate in the map, and then maybe a wee bit of text talking about the annotation, which is the observation, which is the finding. Like, we've seen this, here's an observation, number one, we should do XYZ, and then you might write a paragraph about what do XYZ means. I think once, even if you go through that work on your own, which great, Mike, you can spend a whole afternoon doing that, and then just say to me, Mark, look at this. We go, oh, yeah, cool. That's us up to speed in 10 minutes.
Thumbs up.
Thank you. So it's a nice way to communicate a lot of deep thinking
Well, that's a
without
good
having to sit and read, 10 pages.
that's a good way of putting it. I kind of think you can bring simplicity to subject or complex subject matter, and I think that's a good outcome of applying it in those situations, where you can simplify a particular kind of, concept and present it to someone and they get it. That's very powerful,
Another nice thing I've certainly found with, as the big thing with mapping is the evolutionary axis with Genesis, custom, product, and utility commodity. Those four phases and the way you work differently. I'm going to say pioneer, settler, town planner. I can't remember what the new was. Explorer, something. Town planner. I forgot.
Villager time planner.
Explorer, villager, town planner
Planner.
is the new names, which I think is good. But the different way you work in Genesis, custom, product, utility. But then once people understand that kind of mindset, I find certainly in teams, even without mapping, people would say, well, that's Genesis thing there. That's brand new. We need to sort of explore that versus this commodity. So we'll have that shared language that when you're talking about a capability or a component or like a feature, you have a common way of saying, what method do we need to apply to that? Are we exploring that thing, or are we just commoditizing that thing? So that helps you with, how much testing, how much rigor. There's a whole kind of approach that comes with that evolutionary axis. That's almost like once you get consistent, it becomes kind of almost unspoken. You use the words, but there's a lot of meaning behind them.
I always kind of find the best example I've got of that is there was a mapping session we done a few years back, and we had business people in the room, and we always had the problem where investment was always kind of like V-shaped. It was always kind of coming in at the top, at the front end, like so the business want to kind of have these awesome user experiences,
Visible stuff, yeah.
the visible stuff, right? But the investment really needed to happen way further on down in terms of like the core platform. There was always this legacy, and we put that on the map, and they weren't able to kind of converse this before. So like, I just want that button to do this, I want this, I want to be able to save this off and do that, but because we'd never talked about it before in the kind of shape of a map, they couldn't understand it. They couldn't understand why it was so expensive to kind of make these sort of, on the front end of things, probably, very basic changes. But when you use that, when you use mapping, you're able to converse in a shared language. So everything on that chain had meaning. And then you're able to see, well, here was all the inertia. Here's what's causing that inertia. And this is why we need to kind of address this. This has got to go from here, in this custom phase over to here in this product phase where we can kind of scale up on it and do all the things that you want to do up in there. And they're like, I remember the relief, it was almost like, wow, I get it 100%. And it's a really basic, you may think, but it genuinely happened. And it was a very kind of, enlightening moment for that kind of that business person. And I think from then on in, it was always mapping sessions.
Very good.
But yeah,
You didn't take the cheap shot of, remember that project you didn't fund last year? That's why you can't move your button.
Well, but to be fair, we all speak different language. We all have kind of all our different biases and stuff like that. And I think the mapping challenges you to kind of punch through those things and be able to kind of the conversation normally you it's amazing how quickly once you get that shape of the map there, how quickly you start to find yourself on the problem areas, the areas that are genuinely need addressing. They it can shortcut so much. You can't do that in PowerPoints and face-to-face conversations, because you're not going to be able to, get into that level of detail and have that level of shared understanding. So it's
Very good. So hopefully that's so hopefully that's helpful now. I mean, we're talking about how do you bring mapping into your kind of workplace? And there's definitely, like we talked about, that North Star exercise, that idea of facilitating that thing. You'll find try and find like-minded people you can sit and kind of practice with. There is a way of talking about mapping. You're better to start with the outcomes and then see if people are interested and get back into the map. As a way of sense making for complicated areas, it's brilliant to sit and just make sense of something and share that thinking with peers. And then it also is, it's once you get into that language, it's a common way of thinking, that idea of evolutionary access and things you talk about. So it's but of course, all of this is in the book, The Value Flywheel Effect, by
Right
now,
now.
and it's all there. But it's certainly some of the things that we probably explain it a little better in the book than as we're babbling along here. But that's the crack. Have we look at the website and at theserverlessage.com, and give us a follow on at serverlessage on Twitter, and check out our YouTube channel. Well, thank you very much.
Bye, everyone.